Welcome to episode 198 of Conversation Street, Coronation Street podcast. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we're talking about the episodes of Coronation Street.
Done this nearly 200 times, Gemma, and you can't even get this right.
No, I haven't. I've only done it 100 times nearly. Broadcast between the 2nd and the 6th of May, 2016.
Yes. Happy week, everybody.
Happy week? You've been doing this 200 times.
Hello. We're recording this late tonight.
Okay.
Gemma was a bit poorly early, weren't you?
I was so ill. I thought I was going to be better. Sick.
We didn't watch Coronation Street until like 9:30 or something. So we're recording now at 11 o'clock. So we'll see how it goes today. But at least it's not Saturday, because we've been getting into a bit of a bad habit with that recently.
It's naughty.
Sorry.
I've got things to do. I've got work things to do tomorrow.
Yes, we've got to go to Brighton for Gemma's work tomorrow.
No. Hmm? Yeah, and that's not really Brighton, but...
Near Brighton. I've been doing some work today on our blog. That's right, our blog has now got some new pages on it for your viewing
and
clicking pleasure.
I really don't consider it a blog.
What do you mean? What is
it? I'd just call it a website.
Our website.
I would say a blog.
Our portal.
A blog is more like your personal thoughts about a variety of subjects. But
that's what this podcast is, isn't it?
Yeah, but the website really is just a vehicle...
It's not anything, because nobody visits.
It's rubbish.
But anyway, yeah, we've got two new pages, which are... First, I put up a page which has got our feature discussions on, which aren't as many as I thought there were. So, like, as our monthly topics that we have a chat about, we have now got pages that you can view that and re-listen, should you wish. And also, I put a page about the interviews that we've done. And, yeah, so I quite like it when we get people on the show to interview. And I thought... If you wanted to listen to those again, or if you're new listening to Conversation Street and you wanted to listen, you now can.
You can head all over. Why don't you try?
To conversationstreet.podbean.com.
I bet you'd be able to do it really well if you tried.
I'm talking.
Sorry, darling.
It's better to children in class. Yeah, head over onto conversationstreet.podbean.com and click on the tab and you can do our interviews. And I noticed an interesting point when I was looking at those earlier, and that is that pretty much everybody who has had an interview with us has been on twice. We've had Glenda.
Really?
Yeah, we've had Glenda twice. We've had Mark from the Downstreet Tutors on twice. We've had Jack from Lego. Yeah, it's Jack. I do Lego Corrie twice.
You say that sounds right.
But we've only had Sally Ann Matthews once.
What? We must remedy this.
I think we're going to have to remedy this. That's right, everybody. This is a segue, because we are talking about episode 200, and we have got the lovely Sally Ann Matthews back again. She's very kindly agreed to come back on our show to do another interview. This is very nice of her.
She must be crazy.
She must be. She must have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Or she thinks we're lovely.
Well, she loves
great.
Us. I don't know why.
We're very grateful to have her on and very looking forward to it. And we're going to make it a bit different than the last time that Sal was on, because this time we want your questions. That's right, listeners. You can have a chance.
You can be part of the... Conversation Street team.
Yeah, you can ask some questions and then we don't have to think of as many. Although we could, and I think this has got to be a bit of a long interview, to be honest. But it doesn't matter, yeah. Write in. What things do you want to know from Sal?
Nothing rude.
No topic is barred. You can ask her anything.
No rude things. Don't ask
what,
her.
What rude
like,
things?
Like, what colour are your pants?
Oh, God, don't. Don't say anything that's going to put her off, Gemma, this.
When I was little, we used to phone up the operator and ask her what colour her pants were.
It's just a joke. Yeah, you can tweet us questions, you can email us questions, you can put questions on our blog. You can even, and I would recommend this, Skype us questions. Because we keep asking about people Skyping us, but nobody does. And I think it would be perfect opportunity. And it would almost be like you were talking to Sally Ann Matthews too.
You can do something like ask the question and then you can record yourself going, oh, that's really interesting. Wow, cool.
We'll edit it in. It's episode 200. We'll do all the editing.
We've got loads of knowledge and skills from these episodes we've done.
How much editing have you ever done in the past 198 episodes,
well,
Gemma?
How many cups of tea have you ever made in your life? And this one doesn't have sugar in it. So,
why made a cup of tea for you without sugar in it?
My actual job is editing, so I think I know a bit more than you about it.
You edit words, I edit sounds.
Yeah, but I don't know how to spell segue.
We just discovered the spelling of segue for the first time.
look it up. You might be surprised. Shall we move on?
Yes, let's move on to Corrie history. So 50 years ago this week, Enid Sharples was accused of shoplifting and she was fined. How much is you get fined for shoplifting 50 years ago?
You get 40. your hand chopped off.
No, maybe if it was 51 years ago, but luckily she missed that. 40 shillings. I don't know how much that is.
Oh, it's probably...
That's probably
same.
Like 50p in these in today's
probably
money.
About... I don't know.
I don't know how much 40 shillings is, but it's probably a lot to Enid Sharples, and she didn't even properly do it.
She was
going a bit mad at the time, I think, and she accidentally put stuff in her shopping cart or trolley or little bag on wheels like old ladies have, and she got caught by it on the, well, not the CCTV, but you know, the
when I was
1960s version of CCTV, which is eyes.
When I was really little.
Yes.
I accidentally stole a My Little Pony colouring book from Toys R Us.
Oh my gosh, Gemma.
And I was so sad about it, I cried.
Gemma, we have so many people that listen to this, now everyone's going to know.
When I was little, yeah. I was so happy my dad told me that I could have it. I hugged it all the way through the checkout. And then I got to the car and I went, Daddy, oh no! And started crying. And he went, we're not bloody taking it back in. And I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated.
Your dad takes the blame for this. But you fined 40 shillings.
No, I got completely off scot-free with it. But the guilt,
has stayed with you
ever
since. Okay, what else has happened this week? Well, 35 years ago, Ken and Deirdre got engaged for the first time. So happy anniversary to Ken and Deirdre. And 25 years ago, Audrey left Alf because she suspected he was having an affair with Vivian Barford.
What the hell?
I don't think he was. Gemma, stop looking on your phone.
No, I want to know how much was...
Oh, you're looking at 40 shillings.
When was 40 years? 50 years
50
ago?
50 years ago was 1965. I'll carry on while Gemma finds this amazing conversion fact with 15 years ago, Alma discovered she had a tumour and terminal cancer.
That's very... You can't say it like that.
Terminal cancer.
Yeah.
It's only a drama. It's
okay,
not real.
It's £44.28 in today's money. Blimey. I was going to say 50 quid and I was nearly right.
Well done.
But I didn't. I just had a brain fart.
It was really sad when Alma was diagnosed with cancer because I remember Audrey being there in the doctor's office and Audrey was like, no, you must have made a mistake. You must be... And Alma was just like completely shell-shocked by it.
It
was horrible.
I don't
Bad
even want to think about it.
Sorry for the dramatic reading there. 10 years ago, since Danny Baldwin and Adam Vallow had a fight in the street over Mike's will. That could be to come with Jason next week.
Who do you think he'd fight with? I don't think anyone else wants the money.
Phelan wants the money.
I know, but he's not going to be having a fight about it, is he?
No, okay, maybe not. 70 years ago, we got an anniversary this week. 70 years ago, Granada
TV. You remembered?
TV.
Oh.
70 years ago, Granada Television started broadcasting. If it wasn't for Granada TV, we wouldn't have Coronation Street, so happy anniversary to you. I'm quite surprised as well how soon after the start of Granada Television, Coronation Street started as well. It's like the channel had only been on for like 4 years before they started broadcasting.
It's like they haven't done any work since, isn't it, really? They just thought
come
of one
good
idea
and it's like we're riding on that.
Coasting on it for the rest of the time.
and now Granada TV is a shell of its former self. In fact, I don't think...
Does it exist?
I don't
what
think
is it.
I don't
know what it is.
I don't know. It's all been just swallowed up by ITV, hasn't it? Do they still have Granada up in the north? I don't know.
So, do they have... Is Meridian TV a thing, or have they got rid of that as well?
I don't think we really have regional ITV anymore, do we?
That's what we used to have here, Meridian.
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
And we had Fred Dinage.
I know you did.
And you were really jealous and impressed when you found out, weren't you?
I know. And nobody who's listening to us knows who Fred Dinage is as well.
What?
Some people do.
Yes, they do. He's big
anyway,
in Canada.
Look, this isn't how you start a podcast at 11:10 at night by waffling on about Fred Dinage and whatever else
Chillings.
And My Little Pony theft. Let's move on and talk about the next bit of the podcast, which is Street Talk. In Street Talk this week, we have got 6 storylines that we're going to be covering. The first one is all the plot drama, Nick Fury, and also a bit of the Keep Callum and Harry on storyline, which is building up to some kind of mental breakdown for Sarah, it looks like, or something. I can kind of imagine her at some point just clawing up the floor herself to try and commune with this dead body or something to offer penance to it. We'll then talk about the tone death storyline, which is still ramping up nicely, although you were saying today you're a bit fed up of Alf Teflon feelings being there.
Yeah,
it's a fine line, isn't it?
Lots of people hate feeling, and we've had lots of emails, people complaining and saying you're sick and tired of him getting away with it all the time. And I used to think, yeah, but that's part of this charm, part of the fun, isn't it? And then today, it's because we don't like them repeating the exact same storylines over and over again. The amount of times they've confronted him before a break
with some clear evidence that he's dodgy,
and he's just gone, oh no, and it's like clearly obvious how he can get out of it, and he just does it.
Yeah,
it got a bit annoying.
But I thought Todd was good today.
I love him.
Kind of getting back on the
finally he's redeeming
under the radar
himself
again. Yeah. Hopefully this is the end of it, but we'll talk about the Where There's a Will, Steve's Away storyline next, which really doesn't fit, like we said last week. But I think it's maybe the end of it. I don't know whether I'm expecting Saskia and Will to come back into it now.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It seemed like today was tying a bit of a neat bow on it, wasn't it?
But maybe it will do that just to pull the rug under our feet.
Maybe. Military engagement. Talk about that a little bit there.
They're going back together again,
aren't they? Then we're going to talk about Sally and Yasmin's fencing duel, which is their little battle they've had over the borders. And I have to say, if they don't get an orangery for Yasmin now, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
I want an orangery.
I know.
Look amazing.
I didn't even know what an orangery was until Yasmin said it the other day. We had to do a Google image search, and it's just like a conservatory with bricks, it seems.
Okay.
Posh conservatory.
Can I just say, in the UK, there are three types of conservatory, of like add-on to your house, like glass add-ons, right? Okay. There's the lean-to, which is what we had when I was a kid, which my granddad built, and it had a plastic roof.
Nice.
You know, the sort of thing. What's it called? With the
corrugated
plastic roof. And then there's the conservatory, which is nice, but it's very plain. And then Then there's the orangery, which is ornamental and beautiful, and I want one of those.
I as soon as Yasmin came up with the idea, it's like, this would be the perfect thing for Sally in her place. Love it.
I know, brilliant.
Orangery on the street. Do you think if like Rita had one, it'd be a gingery?
No.
No, we don't.
It's already called an orangery. What else do you want?
Well, that's different, isn't it? You know what I mean? Billy Goes Gruff is going to be the final storyline, because he is still acting pretty gruff this week, which I was pleased with, because he could still keep that storyline title.
But I'm mad because I wanted to find out.
I know, I wanted to find out as well. I thought he was going to tell Sean today. And he's so, just like, oh, well, something's happened.
We spoke last week about what our guesses were, didn't we? But we still don't know.
No, we know that he's at the homeless shelter, don't we? Billy said to Steve, was it, the other day? But still not really enough. Let's do the Platt stuff. Let's talk about that. So what happened on Monday?
So Nick was going to have his appointment with the doctor. And consultant. Let's not forget that he has got a private
consultation.
Yeah.
And he hasn't told Carla about it.
Hasn't told Carla. He doesn't want to waste her time by that. And he says that he'll do the right thing by her. And that means to him that if he has got a brain problem, he is not going to marry her, because he decides it's wasting her time.
And because he's worried that he's going to hurt her, isn't he, as well? But Carla's obviously blissfully unaware of all of this, because she's just kind of swanning around, walking on air, because she thinks this wedding is going to be amazing and most perfect wedding ever. Has she not seen any other weddings on Coronation Street?
I think that actually Coronation Street is being very daring with this new rendition of Invasion of the Body Snatchers that they're doing on Coronation Street.
What do you mean?
Well, because she's not acting like Carla. It's like an alien's invaded her brain.
She's just loved up, isn't she? I'd rather have her like this than kind of soppy Tracy's bitch Carla that she's been recently. I mean, I prefer the Carla of old.
It's
the same
person, Michael. The soppy, loved up, spineless moron.
I've preferred her recently, like in the past week or so, but yeah. I'm just not a fan of her in it particularly anyway, so not too fast.
Some people like them together.
Oh, I know lots of people like them together.
Right, so Gail has decided to extend an olive branch to Carla and ask her to come around later. And I'll just skip to that bit now. She gives Carla a family wedding album, and Carla's really happy about it. And then she says, Gail reminds me a bit of certain people that I know, where they keep mentioning things to try to make you feel guilty about it, saying, oh, wish you hadn't decided to move, but you are both quite lucky together. And welcome to the family.
She gives her a couple of rings as well, doesn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
No, I think you'll find those rings were the rings that they picked out of the wedding rings.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that bit. Okay, fine.
I think that's what they were.
I don't know. Yeah, you're probably
right.
They
have a hug, And when she says, "Welcome to the family," David says, "That makes it sound like the mafia." And Kelly says, "No, because they bury their bodies in the woods." So let's get back to Nick. He is with the consultant and he's talking about his symptoms. And he says, "I get headaches and I'm not sleeping and I get angry. And I think I've got a brain injury because those sound exactly like what I'm like."
That's what you are, David, isn't it?
Yeah. So the doctor says, "Oh, we're going to have to investigate further. I'm going to give you an MRI. And Nick's like, "Well, is it just a precautionary measure? Can we not just do it now?" And the doctor says, "Well, I understand your frustration." And and Nick says, "No, you don't!" And then the doctor says, "Okay, well, the fastest I can do it is the day after tomorrow." And Nick says, "Oh, it's so stressful. You know I need to know now. And you know that this is all making me more stressed out and just making my symptoms worse. And all I really want to know is if I'm going to go back to how I was before and I was mad all the time." And the doctor says, "Well, there's no way I can make a guarantee. I can't talk about absolutes. I can only talk about possibilities and probabilities and how likely it is. And it is like on a scale, you know." And Nick says, "Well, it doesn't matter what the results say then, because I'm always going to be a risk to the people that I love." Oh. And then the doctor says, "Well, just go home and look forward to your wedding." And Nick says, "What wedding?"
The thing is, though, I mean, it might be that his things and his brain things playing up just because of the stress of getting married and everything, because, like, it's one of the most stressful things you can do, isn't it? Maybe, well, yeah, of course. But, you know, maybe once he's married to Carla, things will stop flaring.
See,
off
this
again.
Is what I don't understand, right? Actually, in real life, planning a wedding isn't stressful. Other people are what make it stressful. With their badgering on about, "Well, where's so-and-so going to sit? Oh, can I invite Thingamabob? Make sure you don't have any of that because great granny boozits don't like it." They've only got Gail. No one gives a crap what Gail thinks about anything.
Well, that's enough to get Nick mad anyway.
"Shut up, Gail!" So
Nick goes back home and Carla's there looking through the photos all softly and everything, and gets a bit sniffy, and she says, "I can't wait to marry you. Oh, I couldn't be happier." And
it's all down to you. And he says, "Good, that's good." Yeah. Oh dear. So she can tell something's up with him, and he just tries to change the subject. And they're trying on the wedding rings, and Carla's looking at her like, "Oh," and Nick's looking at his like,
sad,
"Oh,"
yeah.
Like it's the one ring to rule them all. And
the
Carla
Rovers.
Says, David keeps texting, and Carla goes, "Let's just go to the Rovers, shall we?" Because David wants to know what's going on with the doctors. So they both go to the Rovers together, and then Nick and David go to the bar, and David's like, "Well, what happened?" And Nick says, "No, not now. I'll tell you later." So they go around the back together, and Nick doesn't really want to tell him what happened, but David manages to coax it out. And Nick lies and says that he's in the clear, and David believes him, and they talk about how expensive it was. And then back at home, Carla...
That was an exciting scene to the end of Monday's episode, wasn't it? Well, that Carla's saying, "Oh, I thought you'd been getting cold feet and everything." And she's kind of loved up a bit to him, isn't he? And then he ends up pouring boiling water over his hand. Although it didn't look particularly boiling, but it came out of a kettle, so you know. And he's got this posh glass cup, hasn't he? And he smashes it. It was brilliant.
He just went, "Rah!" and threw it on the floor, on the surface, and flying glass went everywhere.
I think that's the kind of thing that anyone would do, though, in that situation, if they're just scalding themselves with boiling hot water. But, it made quite a crash. And it ricocheted off so much that it sliced Carla's cheek up. But she's a tough old bird, Carla. She doesn't care.
I love the way, on soaps, if a woman's going to get cut in the face, it's always not nicely along her cheekbone to sort of accentuate her best features. You never get like something in your eye or like through your eyebrow or on your chin or on your nose or anything. It's always artfully smeared across your cheekbone.
Would you have liked it if like the camera had shot cut to Carla and she had a massive shard of glass jutting out of her eye?
And she's going, "Oh, don't worry, at least
don't
it's
worry,
a
Nick, it's just an accident."
I know, she does give him a cuddle and say, "Oh, don't worry about it, you just must be stressed."
If I'd done that, you'd have got so mad.
I would have been shocked if you'd done that.
Would you?
Yeah, because I know when you get angry like that, it's just be scared.
I don't get angry very much.
You've probably got at that mad like about 3 times in the last 11 years.
Luckily,
whereas
I wasn't holding any glassware at the time.
It's like 3 times like that a day, probably.
Yeah, I'm used to it now.
I don't throw things at your face, though, do I?
You do not, no.
On Wednesday, it moves more to what's going on with Sarah.
Yeah, just for the rest of the week, really,
doesn't
it? Because
we know she's staying in Gail's, well, it's David's and Carly's house, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
she's just getting stressed about...
Because of the baby. The baby won't
sleep.
Yeah,
because of the baby. And she's there because she can't stay with Nick and Carla. So, she's just fed up with Harry.
Well, she's not fed up with him. She thinks he's crying because he's haunted.
Yeah.
Which I really love. And I think I would love it if they hammed it up a bit more, but I don't think they're going to.
She doesn't believe that this exorcism at the christening actually worked, did it?
No.
So, but Kylie's got a solution. She offers Sarah a pampering session. And so she said that's her job, isn't it, for Wednesday. And then she goes along and feels a lot better about it in the end.
Yeah, I mean, we have a little scene with Jason, but it's not really...
Yeah, he comes around to fix the cabinets up, so they've got those sorted now.
She just starts getting upset when he's in the kitchen and he says, oh, it's weird how me and Tony were just here 6 months ago doing this.
Yeah, he starts talking about death, which is not the subject to Sarah at the moment.
He says, oh, how could he die? And Sarah's like, yeah, how could he die?
There was quite a lot of zooming in on Sarah on Wednesday's episode, wasn't there? It was a bit like the Izzy having her drugs
freak
the
out.
Other week. Yeah, and because Jason's in the annex, isn't he, later? And he's asking Sarah to bring tools round to her, to him, and she starts freaking out. And
She picks them up and goes into the bedroom and she drops them and she can't do it.
Mm.
She can't, because he's in there. And Jason says, what do you mean he's in there? And he's like, oh, Richard. I was having nightmares about Richard.
There's so many, problems and issues that the Platts have had and dramas over the years that basically anything could be an excuse. But Richard's always a classic.
Good old classic Richard.
I suppose the room that Gail's annex is in now is where Richard had them tied up in the back of the car, isn't it? Remember when he drove out of the garage and it had Sarah back. So I suppose it could work.
So... Sarah goes off to get pampered and leaves the baby with Nick. Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And Audrey...
Cheers her up.
She feels so happy. And then Gail and Audrey come in. And Audrey's bought a fascinator. And everyone makes fun of her for some reason.
Yeah, it's just a kind of jolly family time, isn't it?
I
like them trying on the fascinator and David kind of doing his
David was
model
the, looked
poses,
the best with
it
on. Because he's the only one who knew where to stick it on his head. So Nick's there with the baby. He's trying to make it go to sleep and it won't. And he stands up and he gets a head rush. And then the baby starts crying again. And when Sarah comes in, he's the other side of the house, just staring there at the baby who's crying. And Sarah's like, why have you left him like this?
It's a good job that Nick had his smashy, smashy phase on Monday, isn't it? Because I don't even think I would find it hilarious if Nick had smashed a baby bouncing off the floor.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I...
I don't think he's a real one. He's probably used a special stunt baby.
Baby that bounces.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't cope with looking after it. And Sarah, and Sarah, who had come home really nice and calm and relaxed and everything from the salons, now put on edge again. And
she says, can I move in with you? And he says, no.
No!
The whole world doesn't revolve around you. Bye. And so Sarah is then left in the house, freaking out and sobbing.
Yeah.
Alone.
Poor old Sarah. It's a scene we've seen many times before, though, isn't it? That's the thing. It's
something new.
Needs to happen, because we know that Sarah is feeling guilty about the whole Callum thing.
Don't mind it so much, because the it's showing a progression of her mental breakdown. Whereas a lot of these other storylines where you just end up with the same old thing, I feel like it never progresses. So David and Kylie arguing together, it doesn't ever progress. It just goes round in a circle. Whereas this, you can tell, she's getting more and more desperate.
Mm.
Because on Friday, she even takes the baby to the medical centre to have him weighed and says to Rana, can babies sense things? Can babies... I think my baby's haunted. Is that something that the NHS can do?
Rana's like,
about?
Blimey, how should I have got the job here?
I don't
train me for this.
I know what Rana actually said, because this is when I was slightly comatose with illness.
It's like, no, leave me alone.
I don't think that ghosts are real.
Yeah.
There's nothing we learned in medical school about ghosts.
Yeah, I don't think that people have got souls from what I have been shown of dissections in medical school.
Right, but... so she's walking around all day with this baby. And she's telling people that it's because baby was like fresh air and she's trying to get him to sleep.
Mm.
But when she comes back, Kylie's like, it was 8 o'clock at night. Where have you been all day? And Sarah says to Kylie, Harry can sense Callum's here. And Carly says, well, he's not here, is he? He's dead. He's not here anymore. And Sarah says, I'm going to move out. I'm going to move in with Audrey. And Carly says, please don't. You should stay here and we'll help each other out. Because I'm the only one in the world who knows what you feel like.
I think it's quite interesting that David is now the kind of the least nuts member of the Platt
it
family.
Is, what a turnaround.
Out of the three children, who'd have thought that he'd have ended up being the most the kind of level-headed, mentally healthy child? He just went
there
through
must
his
be something in the genes.
Just went through his crazy phase early, and he's a normal guy now.
I think it goes to show you that there is something that gets progressively worse with each generation of that family, because Audrey seems all right. Gail is batty as hell. And then Sarah and Nick are literally on, like, some kind of mental...
Yeah.
Like, have actual conditions.
Max has got ADHD. I mean, he might as well be
That's
related
true,
to
yeah.
them. What's going to happen to Lily? That's all I want to know.
Poor Lily. I mean, she's
it's
not
in
haunted.
The genes. You can't,
but...
can't escape it.
So... Let's move on to Tony.
I think my final, my comment on that storyline is just like, all right, it's not much happened, but
I love it.
Nice to be reminded.
I love
again,
these
I
Lady Macbeth vibes I'm getting
from
Sarah.
I do, but the thing is, we called it that like 6 months ago, didn't we? In Telltale Heart and everything. It's, let's have something happen now, please.
I want them to start having a hearing things.
Yeah, they had... I don't know whether they hinted at that.
They did a few times, but yeah. I mean, if I thought that there was a ghost in this house, there were so many noises that... Like, the other day, that thing... Something plastic fell down somewhere, didn't it? And
yeah.
You went to it, it was nothing. Mm. And that's that weird crying that comes from next door.
Gemma is very jumpy.
Yeah, but I'm not... Yeah, what, yeah, but I don't think there's a ghost here.
No. But yeah, but if you did, you'd be completely freaked out.
But there was, the crying was happening again today.
One of our neighbours makes funny crying sounds. I'm surprised he hasn't appeared on the podcast.
I don't know if it's a ghost. I don't know if it's a person or a dog.
Yeah, it sounds very person-like.
It sounds like a person, but I can't believe it.
Oh no,
it's creepy and weird. So if I thought there was a ghost here, there are so many things that sound like a ghost. Is what I'm saying.
Well, talking about another ghost, another dead person, Tone. Tony,
builders keep waking me up in the mornings.
Yeah, we've got builders upstairs.
I'm going to complain.
I was very sensitive to noise. Let's talk about Tony, Jason and Tony.
Right, so Jason wants to go and do work, but Eileen and Phelan say no, because it's Monday, was a bank holiday.
Yeah.
And Phelan goes and helps him, because he won't stop saying he's going to do work, even though he's supposed to go to Chester with Eileen.
Todd's on the case, and he's like saying, why are you being so nice? Why are you into helping Jason so much? And Finn's like, well, he gave me a chance when nobody else did. I got a job thanks to him and everything. And so they try and cheer him. Not much happened on Monday,
Pat
did
and
they?
Todd tried to cheer Jason up, and Todd says, let's go to cinema. And Pat says, let's go watch football. And Jason picks football, which is symbolic.
Yeah, siding with Phelan over Todd.
And on Wednesday, Jason's going to go and fix Gail's taps, and we start to see Phelan subtly begin to manoeuvre himself into being in a position of authority over Jason, and he's starting to do it in small ways. He says, oh, you shouldn't spend your time on peddling little jobs, you should look at the big picture, and he kind of couches it as more like fatherly advice. Mm. But as the week progresses, it becomes more clear that he's going to start just telling him what to do, and Jason's probably going to take it the way
this is the emotional state that he's in at the moment.
Yeah.
Pat's working his way in slowly. We also had some stuff with Liz in this storyline, didn't we? Because Jason last week was just completely blaming Liz for everything that's happened with Tony, and Eileen saying, look, you can't blame her, but and she should be invited to the funeral and everything, but he refuses. And I'm still this week, every time that Liz is in it, I think, Is this her last scene? And she's been keeping on going. She was in it right till today, wasn't she? But I don't know whether anyone else has been watching reading some of the previews that have been put out for upcoming episodes of Coronation Street. But the preview for last week's one included some scenes that we never got to see. There was more stuff with Liz and Chris. But I don't know whether I assume that they weren't filmed. It just kind of goes to show about how out of order they film things.
Weird,
so
isn't it?
This thing that's
must
supposed
be
to have happened with them.
A logistical nightmare when somebody goes off unexpectedly.
Yeah, but yeah, this stuff that's supposed to have happened with them, I guess it's got to wait until until Liz is back in kind of mid to late June now, which is going to seem a bit awkward, but at least there's a few mentions of Sam still, isn't there, with Amy.
Yes,
Amy, Amy's best proper boyfriend. So what we what else happened on Wednesday?
Well, they end up going to... well, she's Eileen says that Liz should go to the funeral, and he says no.
Yeah.
And Jason's thing this week is uninviting people to the funeral.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So then Phelan goes to the Nazir's house, and he's measuring up for Yasmin's orangery, which we'll talk about more later. And he has a drink with Jason and again tells him to stop doing little jobs. And Jason says he wants a reputation for reliability. And then Pat says, how much do you think the Nazirs are worth?
Yeah, weird so question. What was his insinuation there? Is he going to try and just bleed them dry?
He probably thinks there must be loaded because Yasmin gave him all that money extra for the community centre, didn't she?
Yeah.
And now she wants an orangery, and then she's saying she wants to do up the inside of the house. And to me, anyone who's rich enough to have interior decorating done to annoy somebody else must be loaded.
Yeah, so they could be on the receiving end of...
We in this house literally haven't changed anything.
Yeah, since we moved in like 8 years ago, we've had central heating installed. That was the lapse of... That was the luxury.
And then we got a new oven because of my oven... My mum gave it to me though.
But we've had no decoration. It's getting a bit stale. Oh well. Yeah. So I hope that he does involve the
Nazir.
Involving himself in someone else's story.
But it's going to be like a fraud thing, isn't it? He's going to fleece them somehow.
Yeah, maybe.
He's going to charge them extra for things that don't need doing. Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
So on Friday, Jason is getting ready to clear Tony's flat and the lockup with Beelan and Todd. He's got to go to the solicitors afterwards.
Yeah, lots of stuff to do. They go along to the flat. We didn't see much of it really, did we? Jason's getting a bit emotional with it.
And Todd
gives him brotherly support and hug and everything, and he's just trying to win him back from Phelan because Todd knows at the moment that Jason's kind of more trusting of a Phelan than him.
Well, Phelan is more similar to Jason than Todd is.
Yeah, they're kind of the lads together, aren't
they? Yeah. So they go to the lockup and they find loads of knocked off computers and Blu-ray players or something.
Whatever, yeah.
And Jason says, oh, just give it to charity. And Pat's like, oh, no, let's sell it. And then he has a spat between him and Todd because Todd's going, no, he says give it to charity. And then Jason goes, oh, please, just sort this out. I can't
just make up with Pat because it's
hard.
I've got enough problems as it is. So Todd then is sneaking around with Pax. I think doesn't Phelan think that Todd's gone off to the solicitors with Jason maybe, but actually Todd's sneaking around and spying on him because he's calling up his...
It reminded me of the mule face storyline because they're sneaking around lockups again.
I thought that as well. Yeah, but Todd overhears him talking to his mate and saying, "Look, do you want this dodgy gear?
Yeah.
So then the bloke comes up and Todd's filming it on his phone. The portrait where I don't know why people film things portrait. That's not how you do it, is it?
I know, it should be arrested.
Yeah. And he gets £3,000 for it, and but he sees Todd when he drops the wad of cash on the floor, doesn't he? So then he has to kind of think of a plan, and you can see that he was looking a bit scared for a while. Phelan wasn't he?
He immediately says to the bloke, "Let's go to your place. You've got a printer."
Mm.
And I never really worked out what that was about.
No, it was he said later,
I've got receipts
and
get,
things, but they didn't show it. And
I mean, a receipt printed off a printer don't mean anything to me.
No, I don't know.
So Todd goes back home and shows Eileen the video and tells her what happened, and then she looks like, oh, maybe Todd's right. And then Phelan comes back in and they say, and Todd confronts him and he says, yep, I sold it to my mate and I got £2,000 and I'm going to give it to Jason.
He shouldn't have done it really. I mean,
we paused it and we were like, how's he going to get out of this?
And I kind of assumed he was going to say, oh, I sold it so that I could give the money to charity or something, because Jason at the end of the day did say, give it to charity. Although I suppose it was Todd was the one that was kind of the most annoyed about it because he just wanted to go against whatever Phelan was saying, and Phelan's like, oh, it's all right, I left a message on Jason's answer phone, it's all fine. And Eileen is one round yet again. She's in for a fall, isn't she?
She's a wally.
Yeah, so they all go off to the Rovers anyway. Todd and Billy talk, and Billy's like saying, look, all you've done is pushed Phelan and Eileen together. You've alienated yourself from the family. You really just need to, you know, turn the other cheek and make up. So then Phelan and Eileen comes in, and Todd does a brilliant fake apology.
Yeah, which is he like, does. And
it's the kind of one that looks like it would be genuine, but like, as viewers, we know that he was completely kind of hamming it up and making it false. But then and sort of giving him a handshake and everything, and Phelan's taken aback by this. I don't know whether I believe that Phelan would believe him or not. I think Phelan's too smart to realise or to be fooled by this, don't you?
Well, he knows Todd's dodgy, and I would be upset if he was fooled by this.
He knows that Todd is smart.
Todd is doing it more to fool everyone else, although he does tell Billy what he's up to.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the reason he did it, we were saying a few weeks ago, Todd shouldn't have played his hand so early, should he? He shouldn't have let Pat know that he was on to him. And, yeah, like you said, it's going to be a bit disappointing if Phelan's fooled by this, because they are complete, like, equals, aren't they? In
masterminds.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt a bit sad for Billy, because he was like, oh, well done, Todd. You've forgiven him. That's the Christian way.
Thing to do.
And Todd's like, no.
No, he says, I can. You were right. It's pulling me apart from my family, and I can watch him better from the inside.
Mm. So that's he's going to wait. But the thing is, what's going to happen? Is he going to wait for him to slip up again, film it again, or get some kind of evidence again, tell Eileen again, and then Phelan will wiggle his way out of it again? We've said that
he needs to wait for Phelan to incriminate himself a bit more, because when he ran home to Eileen and said, look what Phelan's done, that was too quick to know what Phelan was actually going to tell her that he had done.
Mm.
Because he didn't know what Phelan was going to say he'd done with all that stuff.
What we didn't say as well was when Phelan came back, he said, oh, I've managed to get £2,000 for it, didn't he? So he's still made £1,000 profit out of this himself. But Todd didn't know that, because he didn't hear how much the haggling was for. But yeah, I mean, I assume if he hadn't dropped the money on the floor, he would have kept it all for himself, wouldn't he? And then just said that he gave it all to charity.
I've got no idea.
I don't know. We've said that we want this Phelan storyline to run and run and run, because we're enjoying it so much, but it can't just keep going in the same.
Yeah. From this.
Yeah.
I think it'd be funny.
He needs to get involved in something big.
A few scenes where Todd and Phelan hate each other and know the other one hates them, but are pretending to be nice to each other, and then say like they're in the bistro, and then Eileen gets up to go to the toilet, and then they kind of like revert to sniping at one another, and then she comes back and they're like, again.
Well, I assume we do still agree that it's leading up to him taking over the builder's yard, don't we? That kind of thing needs to happen sooner rather than later, really.
All that stuff when Jason came back from the solicitors.
Yeah, he reveals that Tony actually had 80 grand in savings, plus there's the money from
he's got the flat that...
Totally loaded.
He's got the flat that Steph lives in.
Yeah.
He's got the flat that he lived in. He's got property with the builder's yard. And he's got 80 grand in the bank.
And Jason was still moping around.
I know, I'd be like, well, you know what? You win some, you lose some. So
Eileen
gets mad about it, because she says he lied about being poor, and then Jason says, oh, you don't show any respect and you only care about Liz. Tell you what, don't bother coming to the funeral.
Mm.
So then, later on, Jason is moping at the bar, and he asks Phelan for advice about finances, and Phelan says, oh, it's the least I can do, help you out. So obviously,
I'll offer you advice. I advise you to give it all to me.
He'll probably say, I'll invest it for you, and then he'll come back and say, oh, the stock market crashed or something, and Jason will probably believe him.
That could be very likely, actually.
So Jason then is by himself, and he's rude to Eva, and then he follows her back to the back of the pub and apologises, and then comes on to her, and she rejects him and says, no, I'm with Aiden. So he gets really drunk, goes back to the front again, and starts asking for more beer, And Eva's like, I think you've had enough. And then Gemma comes out. She's been eyeing him the whole episode.
She's had some great scenes, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, watching him from the other side of the bar, like, eyes out on stalks, just kind of drooling over him about this hot builder on the other side of the bar. And even when Jason went around to the back with her, she was kind of there, wasn't she? Just kind of ogling him.
Yeah, and they end up going off together, don't they? And Eva's like, you're going to regret this, Jason! Which I think is quite rude. To Gemma.
Could be a lovely girl.
Really though, she's saying that because Gemma is a bit plump.
Isn't she saying it because
she's unattractive?
No,
that's really
because,
rude.
She's not a nice she's not a nice person, is she, Gemma?
What, Gemma? But they're painting her to be more sympathetic now. I think she's more of an opportunist than anything else, and I think she's the sort of girl who hung around wrong'uns when she was a kid, so she does wrong'un stuff. If she hung around, like, nuns, she would probably be a nun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's a social comedian.
She must be easily led, because was around Callum, that's what made her a good
henchman for Callum. She's kind of, like, drifting by herself at the moment, but she just jumps in there. She sees Jason is vulnerable, and she goes for it.
Yeah, she takes the opportunity. I mean, she's got nothing at the moment, has she? Callum's gone. Macca's obviously off the scene, and Gemma's just kind of left on her own, and she's feeling a bit lonely. So
all she's got in the world is her emergency bra tenner. But luckily, she didn't need to use it to bag her man.
No, so she's been going after Jason for all this time, hasn't she? Now she's got what she wants. And it's the funeral on Monday, I think. So I don't know whether she's going to be invited along to that. She's going to be his plus one. Can you imagine her, like, showing up at the funeral and making a scene?
Wearing a hat.
Can you see Jason and Gemma staying as an item? I mean, he was very drunk at the time.
They're on the same mental level.
That's true. He wanted to do anything he could to, like, spite everyone else, didn't he?
When he goes out the door, he says to Eva, I'm going to do whatever I want now. No one can tell me what to do anymore. And I don't think Gemma would ever tell him what to do. I think she would just enable everything he says. She'd be like, yeah, look, great idea, babes. Yeah, let's do it.
Mm.
She's going to burn through that cash as well. I'm sure she will.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Right.
Us Gemmas, we're good with burning through cash.
I know. Tell me about it.
So, let's move on to Steve and Michelle. So, Michelle's been miserable all week. That's the end of that storyline. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So she's planning Carla's wedding, and Aidan comes in and says, oh, don't let planning someone else's wedding get in the way of your own marriage. And if she'd only taken that advice, like, 3 weeks ago, she wouldn't have been so miserable now, would she?
No.
So she tells her to cut Steve some more slack, and she's like,
We had a scene with Liz later. I said that in the notes that Liz was looking a little bit like Beetlejuice on Monday with that black and white stripes and the crazy blonde hair. So if you haven't watched it yet, look out for that.
They have a pretty intense conversation because Liz is kind of like going, do you know what? My son looks miserable. Have you been having enough sex with him? Because you know what he's like. It causes tension.
Dangerous, isn't it? Is that why she's backing off? Is there someone else maybe?
Or are you having sex with Will?
Yeah, exactly. And
Michelle's like, oh no, I didn't have sex with him, but I did go to his house because it was my 40th, and I wanted to have sex with him, but I didn't. But I did kiss him. Oh, bye.
Should she have said, do you think it's the right thing to do to tell this? Because Carlo at the end of the week is like saying, why couldn't you just done the same as the rest of us and kept stum?
My advice, if you're gonna have an affair and cheat on your husband,
don't tell his mum.
The bottom of the list of people that should know this is your mother-in-law.
Especially as, like, Liz has never been, like, Michelle's strongest
not her ally, is she? No. So, well, in this case,
it
was the right thing to do because Liz follows her, gives her a pep talk and says, look, just brush it under the carpet and don't let it ruin your marriage.
That's not really good mothering, really, is it?
That's exactly what your mum said to me.
So
they hug each other, and that's not quite the end of that because Michelle still is burdened with this.
Yeah.
And Steve offers to have a nice night in with her, but she doesn't want to. And then he mentions the fact that he's spoken to Tim about it, and she gets really defensive.
Hmm.
And then he speaks to Aidan, and Aidan says, oh, just be patient with her.
Yeah. We find out on Wednesday that Liz is possibly thinking of going to see Andy in Spain.
Has he broken his leg again?
Maybe broken his leg again. Which they kind of give the excuse with everything that's been happening with Tony, has kind of stressed her out so much. She's going to go in and live with Andy. So
why not?
I guess she's gone now. Maybe
I would like to go. I wish we had a relative who lives somewhere.
I know, we don't have anyone, do we? So we had lots of nice Amy scenes on Friday, didn't we? Because now she's in a relationship. She knows everything there is to know about, you know, the birds and the bees. And
I feel like Amy has kind of shot up recently. Since she got her braces, she seems like she's aged. You know what I mean? Not like
she in just a bad way, but
she
older.
Suddenly seems like she's gone from a category of like little kid to me. Yeah, to like a preteen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know what you mean.
So she's got her braces and she's now sassy and up for... Well,
she's the love guru today.
But it really annoyed me on Friday morning because she was there eating her cereal and Steve was cleaning her shoes on the same table. The fumes from that...
Is that not what you do?
No, but remember, you probably haven't cleaned your shoes in about 5 years. But do you remember the smell of shoe polish?
Yes.
Now, can you imagine eating cereal literally... like a foot away from you, somebody had an open can of shoe polish.
Oh, yeah.
That would stink.
She didn't mind.
That completely ruined the scene for me and my suspension of disbelief. Gone.
Well, she offers him the advice of doing something romantic to make Michelle feel special. And Steve's like, of course. What an amazing idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Oh, don't be... You should be so sarcastic. You've never done anything like this for me.
Well, you've never slept with another guy and been so guilty.
How do you know? Have you ever... You've never cooked me a meal, have you?
You wouldn't want me to cook you a meal.
Yes, I would.
No?
Yes, I would.
Oh.
I would really like that.
Oh, okay, well, you never leave the house. You're never given the opportunity to taste it.
Well, maybe I'll go off with Will.
Steve gives... Oh, here's something else that I've never done. Left my card with a little note for you to say, go and buy yourself a new dress or something. I wouldn't dare.
What a sucker.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
And Michelle doesn't even do it.
The best time. I'd be like, thanks very much. Goodbye.
Maybe I'd leave you, like, I don't know, a £20 note.
Well, but...
see what you could get with that. But
like
card? No way.
You could, with a £20 note, I would probably get 2 bowls out of Yo Sushi and a Frappuccino and come back demanding more.
More, please.
That was nice. Another...
Liz, she didn't want to go shopping, but Liz says, look, it's going to cheer you up, off you go. So she, rather than going shopping, she goes over whining to Michelle.
Carla, sorry.
And this is where Carla's like saying, why don't you just be like a normal person, just lie?
Yeah, well, she's because she said she told Liz.
Yeah.
And then she says, I have to live with the guilt about Robert, so you can as well.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we got some nice news, because Andrea had a massive whopping fat baby girl over 10 pounds.
I'd forgotten about Andrea being pregnant, even though that was kind of what was happening when she left. I never like had in my head, oh, Andrea must be having a baby by now. Well, that was nice that they mentioned it.
But that's the sort of crazy thing you usually tell me, isn't it?
I know. Also.
You don't know anything like about your real life friends and family, but you'll tell me things like, I wonder when Andrea's baby's due. It must be around now.
I wanted to know what the name was.
Me too.
And I'm assuming it's never going to be mentioned again. I mean...
Aww.
They must have just like put it in the calendar when Craig and
Hayley to Madden on Twitter and ask her what her baby's called.
Oh yeah, that's good.
I bet she would know.
She could give it a name, couldn't she?
Yeah.
Roxy.
Yeah, Roxy.
Roxy Mullaney. So anyway, Amy then decides that she's not going to have a baby. She doesn't want to give birth to a £10 baby. She's going to tell Sam that now they're going to adopt, which I thought was quite funny. And then she says to Steve, right, now you need to get the place sorted for Michelle coming back. Speaking of Michelle coming back, she's there outside the Rovers in Carla's car. The retail therapy has not worked. She still feels like such a hypocrite for everything that she's done. And Carla basically just has to give her the talk yet again, the shut up talk, keep it quiet about it and just appreciate what you've got. So she goes back inside and Steve's decked out the room all nicely. Amy's being the waitress and the musical entertainment, which was hilarious. They have their little meal and Michelle doesn't really appreciate it, does she?
No.
Wine, wind.
Well, he's like, oh, what's that smell? It smells like my potatoes are burning. She goes, oh, I don't care. That's the last of our worries. And yet again, she can't confess without blaming him first. Oh, it's
you
been
went
really,
away.
She says, it's been really, really hard for me. And when I went to Spain, I realised I wasn't the cure, I was the cause. And it's like, yes, you finally twig it. You're a miserable old cow. And he got depressed and he went to Spain and he wasn't sad anymore. And it's no wonder he didn't want to come back.
I'd love to be able to sympathise with her, but I just don't.
No, not really.
But they seem to make up by the end of it, hasn't anyway, don't they?
He says, you're the reason I'm here today. You saved my life. You and Amy are all I live for. Without you, there's nothing.
Mm.
And then the next time we see them, they're happy. And Michelle tells Liz they're going to move on. Which I still think, any time on Corrie when there's something alive that's going on, it normally ends up coming out. So, And I think Steve should be quite... if he does find out, rightfully annoyed about it, because she's had so many opportunities to tell him, and all she's done, instead of confessing, is guilt trip him by starting the confession with, I was lonely and sad because she left me, and never gets quite as far as, and then I nearly slept with Will, before he jumps in and goes, well, I'm sorry, I am a terrible husband. Here's some potatoes.
See, Liz shouldn't really be leaving in the middle of this, should she?
It's the same thing that happens with all of them, though, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm just going to leave in the middle of a drama.
Oh, it's not her fault.
No, I know.
Right, talking of doomed relationships, the military engagement. So what's been happening here then?
Well, nothing really. You see Kaz and Kate are in the cafe and then Kevin and Sophie come in and they... Kevin and Sophie go to leave and then Sophie knocks Kaz by accident.
I don't even know whether she even knocked her. She kind of said, I didn't even touch you, which I don't know whether she said that because she's just being defensive or what, but well, Kaz makes a big song and dance about it, doesn't
she? Well, she says, I know you didn't mean it. And Sophie's like, mean what? I didn't do anything. And she says, oh, you caught my ankle. And then Sophie's like, nothing happened. I didn't touch you. Oh, you know I didn't touch you. And then they leave and Sophie says to Kevin, Kaz is faking this. And I was right about Jenny Bradley, and I'm right about this.
Duh. You weren't right about Jenny Bradley, no, Sophie.
No, she's misunderstood.
Is Kaz misunderstood? See, by the end of the week, Kaz was a bit like, is she?
Kaz is clearly unhinged.
Yeah, she is. She's a bit Kirsty-ish, isn't she, Kaz?
Yeah, she is. So they end up at the Nazir's barbecue, Sophie and Kevin, and Kaz and Kate are there, all awkward. And then Yasmin starts interrogating Kaz about her injury and saying, oh, I'm surprised you're allowed to be treated away from the base.
Yeah, because she knows all about this with Calbin in the army.
Yeah, Sophie's earwigging and trying to find out facts that she can catch her out with. And then Kaz says, oh, well, I had leave booked anyway.
She does seem to be...
looks a bit dodgy.
Yeah, exactly. She seems to be telling Porky about this.
And then Sophie tells Kevin, oh, Kaz is hiding something. And she tries to find out what's going on with Kate, but she gets the cold shoulder.
Mm.
And then on Wednesday... we have a little weird scene when Kaz's phone rings, so Kate picks it up, and then it's the Kaz's support officer, and then Kaz snatches the phone and makes Kate leave, but Kate stays in the hallway and listens. And then Kaz is saying to the support officer, no, it's not convenient, you can't come to visit, you can't come here. And then later on, Kate
says, well, what was that all about? And Kaz then explodes, doesn't she? Saying, how dare you listen to me? What? So why can't the support officer come round? What? I mean, what do you think is going on with Kaz? Has she been discharged or what?
I really don't know what's going on because I don't think you'd have a support officer if you've been discharged.
No,
I do think that she has been. I would have said before then she's been kicked out. Or she's playing away and she's not allowed to be here so long, but you'd think the military police would come and get her.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to, was it Kieran or Peter? One of the two of them got hauled back to the Navy after they absconded. I think it was Kieran. But I just don't know why what Kaz thinks they're going to find if they come round. I mean, do they...
Do they
not know that she's engaged? Do they not know that she's a lesbian? Or
not allowed to be a lesbian in the army.
I don't know. I'm just a bit surprised about that. Or no, do they think that if they come round, then people are going to start asking questions?
I mean,
or...
the other thing I thought was maybe they don't know what her injuries are, but they must do.
Yeah, they'd have records sent from the doctors and stuff.
It's not
they?
Like she could have gotten treated anywhere else and told them, oh, yeah, no, really bad, really bad leg.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, that's fine, we trust you.
But anyway, Kaz is like saying, oh, it's they kind of calm down a bit. Yeah, then they calm down, and Kaz is like, "Oh, it's hard to getting over what you did from bringing up Sophie again." And they kind of just have a hug, don't they?
Well, not, Kay not says move on.
Yeah, not before the blazing argument, like you said, which is it Eileen and Tim downstairs in the cab office are listening into?
Yeah.
Tim tells Kevin, Kevin tells Sophie later, and Sophie's pleased as, isn't she? Sophie's
like, excellent.
My plan is coming together.
So on Friday, Kaz spots Sophie and Kate chatting, and then Kate says to Sophie, "Come for a drink with us later." So Sophie does. And Kate says, "Right, we've spoken together and we think we should all be friends and go back to how it was." And Sophie's like, "Oh, that's okay." And Kate goes, "Okay, right, I'll go and get the drinks then." And when she gets up, Sophie goes, "Oh, this is really nice." And then Kate goes, "I've only got a few minutes to say this to you, but please don't steal Kate away from me because she's all I've got."
Do you think that she was being genuine then? Because she seemed pretty upset, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's...
I think she might be... the soap version of bipolar.
I was just gonna say, and by that I mean like
the theatrical version where, you know, it's not really how it really is in real life. And yeah. I know that, you know, I've got a close family relative who has that disorder, so I don't want to make anyone think that I'm taking it lightly. It's the same as like schizophrenia, and how it's portrayed on TV is completely the opposite. Or completely different from how it is in real life, and the same as like having amnesia is portrayed. It's just a plot device.
So, did you have any sympathy for Kaz at the end then? Because we hadn't up till this point, but by the end, it's like, oh.
I do feel a bit sorry for her. I feel sorry for anyone who loses their girlfriend to Sophie.
Yeah.
I'd be bloody mad if I lost my girlfriend to Sophie.
And it's that, yeah, not, and it wouldn't be surprising for her to think that that's what's happening. She did kind of walk in on them kissing, and whatever Kate says about, "Oh, she really kissed me."
I would not be cool with them being friends. I would not be cool with it at all.
No. So,
especially what Kate's like. Kate is like a Disney princess, wobbling around the world like Belle in the beginning of Beauty and the Beast, like "Bonjour, good day, la 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 la," like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and she can see, all she can see is a picturesque village, French village, but in reality it's like a war zone. And there's corpses, she's just picking her way around it because she doesn't live in the real world.
Yeah, I suppose, Kaz should just like say, "Well, let's move away when we get married." Kaz really should,
I don't understand. She's like, I would latch on to the fact that she's got a rich family, and go, "Let's just get your family to... I mean, forget getting married. Let's use that money and move away from here and then see if we can stay together."
Yeah. Kate obviously isn't that... Well, we know that she's not as into the relationship anyway, do we? Because
she's not very emotionally literate.
She's had her head turned a bit by Sophie, and Sophie's obviously determined to get...
And this is
Get her.
This is probably the first time, the most amount of time they've ever spent together. Kaz and Kate.
That's true, actually, yeah. They only ever saw each other for days at a time, yeah. Didn't they?
It's easy to see how somebody like Kate, who is a bit ditzy and a little bit flighty, could have been caught up in the romance of a soldier girlfriend who you only see like a long-distance relationship. And
well, it certainly doesn't seem to be idyllic, the living situation at the moment. I mean, I know it's difficult because she's got her feet up or anything, but I mean, Kaz isn't making things easier for her.
No.
So it's wouldn't be surprised if she was turned towards Sophie.
Turned to the dark side.
Speaking of Sophie, let's talk about the Sally stuff then, the rest of the Webster clan leading into the Zidane stuff. So, Yaz seemed to be particularly theatrical on Monday morning, and she's telling him to mow their new territory and making a big thing about the fact that, "Oh, our garden looks so much bigger now. I wonder why that could be." And Sally's there, the other side of the fence, just kind of knowing what's been done about this fence, but she can't.
I loved the sniping and the like continual one-upmanship between the pair of them, because Sally comes out and says, "Oh, you're not doing that now, are you? I want some peace and quiet." And Yasmin says, "I should have known you weren't out here to garden, judging from the state of your beds." And then Sally goes, "Well, Tim will be attending to my shrubbery later." And then Yas says they're going to have a barbecue. and Sally's going on about how it's going to rain and it's going to be ruined.
Mm. Yasmin then goes round and loudly inviting everyone to this mega barbecue, including Kevin as well, just to get under Sally's skin.
Yeah.
And Sally's seen the weather forecast and said it's going to rain later.
Which
and...
obviously is information only available to her. Because...
Because it does.
Well... Sherif sets up the barbecue and Sally's like, oh, do you want Tim to come round? He's very good at things like that. I know you two probably aren't. And then Yasmin's saying, oh, this is an unmitigated disaster. And Ali and Zidane take over and they start helping out. And everyone agrees in the family that clearly Yasmin is trying to distract herself from the fact that it's the anniversary of Kyle's death is coming up.
Mm. Which Sophie just has she mentioned the fact that it's Maddie's anniversary soon? I mean, she's throughout the year on and off she's been mentioning Maddie,
well,
but now that Kate's on the scene, she's like completely forgotten.
Maybe she's saving up to get in Kate's pants later on.
Oh, yeah, oh, today's the anniversary that Maddie died. Oh,
do you know
Kate.
What made me feel better? So, the barbecue's getting underway, and Mary has turned up with a statement hat.
Yeah.
And Sally's smirking because she's having an indoor barbecue with salmon burgers.
Yeah. Oh no, it's not raining at this point, is she? But
no.
she's having a little indoor barbecue to try and one up them, and Tim's not having any of that. And I did enjoy that scene with Tim being a caveman. Tim want beef.
Yeah. And Steve is sitting there going, oh.
Yeah, because he came round to look at Tim's brewery or something, didn't he? His home brewery. And Steve then gets the idea of talking to Michelle like this, doesn't he? He goes back home saying, upstairs woman or something, and Michelle's like, no, not going to work on me.
No, I'm traumatised by the fact I nearly had an affair. Mm.
Now, back in the barbecue, back in the garden, Mary spotted that Zidane and Rana have got a complicated relationship, and he doesn't want to talk about this. Things aren't particularly going his way.
Well, he won't talk to her. She's come round because I think Ali invited her.
Yeah.
Or Yaz invited her.
Yeah, I think Alia did.
And she is there just trying to talk to him, and Zidane's like, no... He's just playing her. It's the very definition of treat him mean to keep him keen. She's falling for it completely.
I don't know whether that is what he's doing.
Well, no, I don't think so. But it really is working on her because she just won't leave him alone. She's like a fly around honey, isn't she?
Mm.
Trying to...
She was like that in Today a little bit, weren't they? When they were walking outside the bistro and she didn't come running over to it, but she's just kind of going down there with her nurse's thing on and trying to make him... want her.
Anyway, it rains and everyone rushes inside and Sally's watching in her conservatory.
She's waving the burger
through
the rain.
She's about to be one-upped with an orangery. And Yasmin is deflated and Sherif tries to sort of say, I know why we're doing this. And she's like, no, I'm not talking about it. Standing there in the rain, she just looks so devastated and deflated and I felt really sorry for her then because she...
Yeah.
You knew why she was trying to do it.
I don't know whether they're going to get this orangery because I think it's just one of her ways that she wants to distract herself from Cal, and then she'll kind of realise that, and I think it's not going to come to anything. I mean, Sherif thinks it's a silly idea a bit, but he was kind of humouring her a bit, wasn't he, on Wednesday?
I wonder whether there would ever be any consideration in, like, we can't do it because of the budget.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think they should get one because it would just be a funny, symbolic...
Like, I just think it would be amazing. Like, Sally's conservatory for the past, 5 years has been her...
talking point.
Yeah, and it's like trumps everything in an argument. And Sally's like, well,
I've got a conservatory.
And she just drops it into conversation. And she would never... It's like she could never mention it again. Or she could, but she wouldn't. Even if it's still pretty nice to have a conservatory. As soon as somebody else has something better than her...
She'd be gutted.
I want it to turn into some kind of building war where Yasmin gets an orangery, Sally gets a loft conversion, next door gets a massive tower put on, Sally gets a swimming pool. And...
It's keeping up with the Joneses, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. I hope it goes that way, but like I said, I don't know whether she's going to get this orangery or not. I think
we
it's
don't
just
play that game,
a master Cal.
We're the family that everyone goes, at least we're not them. And that's how that keeps everyone in check, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They don't compete with each other because they know.
What was happening then?
Well, then after that, we have...
Oh, yeah, we've got Wednesday's episode, and Sharif and Zidane are just saying about they need to keep an eye on Yasmin because of Cal. It was Wednesday that the orangery stuff was coming in, wasn't it? Yeah. So Friday then, they're not in it at all, sadly. I was hoping for a bit more of that. It moves back onto Rana and Zidane, and she just kind of flounces into the bistro, and Leanne tells her she's being a bit stalkerish, so she and you just need to be direct and straight with Zidane, so she takes herself into the kitchen, which has seen an awful lot of action recently. They need some clearer health and safety signs up or something. And, she demands that he take her back so he cooks her a nice meal and they're together again by the end of the episode. So
and they're in, hooray, in the end up in the bistro kitchen together.
Yeah, I said that.
I know, but it's rude and disgusting.
I know it is, it's very disgusting.
Yeah.
So do you think they're gonna stick together now?
I don't know whether
she's gonna like wear him down. And end, it'll end up sleeping with her or something. We kind of talked about this before, so.
I'm distracted because I'm looking at.
I know you're looking at. You're finding how much orangeries cost at the moment. That's why there's a lull in the conversation.
I want one.
I'd quite like to see Rana and Zidane as a couple, but she's going to tire of him, isn't she? And leave him out to dry, and he's going to be rejected. It's going to be like...
Well, I just wonder where it's going, because it went a bit dark when he was trying to police her behaviour around other men. And I mean, I do think that some people are just flirty, and Rana flirts with everybody. Rana flirts with Yasmin. Rana flirts with Alia. She's just a flirty, bubbly girl. She's got good looks and she's used to using them. He's not going to be happy with her. She's not going to rein it in for him. No. He's never going to accept it because he's very religious. And I also am surprised that he wants to go out with her when she's made it clear that she's quite happy to sleep with him and do things like unacceptable things in his mind. And she drinks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She obviously doesn't... She obviously, if she is a Muslim, which is not clear whether she is or not, she's obviously a very... not a very strict one at all, like he is. So it just seems to me like not it's a bad idea.
I think he's going to get his heart broken.
I think she's going to get her heart broken. I think he's going to turn out to be a psychopath.
Do you think she'll end up going out with someone else on the street? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, who, I know. Like Andy or... no, not Andy.
I know, Luke.
Luke, yeah. She might end up with him. And
they would make a good couple.
Yeah, they probably would, actually.
They're both really attractive.
But he's going out with... Old Maria is not a real person. So, yeah, and then Zidane get jealous. And, yeah.
Blah blah blah.
It's not. It wasn't that interesting, to be honest. Let's just finish off with the Billy stuff, because not much happened, was it? The Lee's back, the dodgy geezer, and he's asking Steve for change, and Billy sees him and says, "This is some guy from the homeless shelter. Who's not facing up to his real problems, which is the only hint we really get about what's happened to him." But, yes, Sean has ordered a holiday for the two of them.
Ordered a holiday.
Booked a holiday.
I guess to show you how often you get involved in
I don't know the lingo. Which is... people do this on Coronation Street, don't they? They're always making big decisions without consulting their partner. So it is...
Or booking a holiday for next week.
Yeah. It's no wonder that Billy was annoyed by it. And they say, you've got no right to book this. And Sean's just like, oh, well, I'm tired of being fobbed off by this. He's... And by the way, here's my half of the money. I expect you to pay your half by Friday. And then on Friday, he comes into the cab office like, oh, Billy's not paid his share of the holiday. I wonder why. I've got no idea why. Yeah, they've lost the holiday. So,
well, yeah, because Billy says, I might not even have the time off, and I also might not even have the money. I'm not made of money.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. But obviously, we know that he's been giving a lot of his money away to this Lee. And what we were wondering whether... Or we said at the time whether he would give Sean's money to Lee, but I mean, I assume he's not now. Because if...
I don't know.
Well, if...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, oh, well, this bloke will take the money off of Billy or something will happen.
But if Sean's found out on Friday now that this holiday thing's not going through, he's going to be like, well, where's... Can I have my deposit back then, Billy? But Sean kind of... they had the little chat in the Rovers, which didn't tell us anything. Sean flounced off, and then we didn't see him for the rest of the episode, did he? Billy was trying to get hold of him, but then he got involved in all the Jason stuff. So I hope we find out next week, because I'm getting a bit like...
I was expecting completely to find out this week, because we were talking about it
We were talking about last week saying, well, I wonder what it is.
What our theories were about it.
It's not moved any further. It's been a bit of filler this week, hasn't it?
It's just to remind us that this is still happening.
Yeah. So that is it for Coronation Street this week. It was an alright week. Nothing super amazing with it. I think maybe I might have Yasmin as my character of the week this week, just because she did have so many funny lines and the one-upmanship, the snobbery, the decision to build an orangery just to spite her neighbour. It was all very funny.
I don't know who to pick because I feel like I always pick the same group of people. Well, and you tell me off.
There are dominant storylines.
I liked Sarah freaking out.
Sarah was good this
Todd
week.
Scheming. And I also liked Amy. We didn't mention, but she did serenade Michelle and Steve on the violin. And we had a discussion when she first picked up the violin to say, is she ever going to actually play this or will it be too humiliating for the actress? And we decided she wouldn't play it ever. We wouldn't hear her doing it. But she's done it a couple of times since then.
Hasn't she done a grade one? Or she was supposed to be doing a grade one by then. You couldn't tell from what she was doing today.
I've got no conception of what level grade one.
Probably
be.
Better than that, I would say. I don't know for violin, but probably better than that. So
violin is a very tricky instrument, Michael.
Can you pick one character of the week out of all of those?
No, I can't remember what I said now.
Todd. So Phelan didn't even get a nomination this week. Phelan was just I
always say the same three or four people.
I think for Phelan to get picked again, he's going to have to take it to the next level now. Conor McIntyre showed what he can do.
He needs to get someone in a headlock.
What else now? Because it was a bit same old this week for him. So
I reckon what you said about not getting an orangery in the end. I think Phelan is going to abscond with Nazir's money before he actually builds it.
Oh, yeah, couldn't he? But, I mean, he might not need to do that if he's going to get Jason's money. I think he's just keeping his options open at the moment,
it's rich pickings, isn't it, for a con man on the street at the moment. Everyone's loaded.
Everyone's falling for him as well.
Everyone's loaded.
Nice Mr. Phelan.
But they live in a bunch of, terraced houses.
Right, so let's move on and do the next section. Okay, now we had a character profile plan for this week, but it's getting late. We'll move it on to next week. So you have to wait and see who we're going to talk about.
Secret.
We're going to do a cabin now with some news about soap awards. The British Soap Awards are coming. We had the.
Can I say, please don't give me any more awards. I have only got a small award shelf, and I've already got an Oscar and an Emmy on it. I just want a Tony, and then that's fine.
Okay, whatever you say, darling. Thank you, though. Yeah, we had the long list for the British Soap Awards a few weeks ago. The short lists have come out this week, and you can vote for a couple of categories at www.britishsoapawards.tv/vote until the 28th of May, which is when the ceremony takes place, I think, which is a Saturday in a few weeks' time. You can also pre-register for tickets to be in the audience. I don't know whether I'd heard of that before, whether I'd forgotten about it. You can... obviously, if you're on the soaps, you can get in for free. But they've obviously got a little bit for the plebs, the member of the public, to go to. So if you go to www.sroaudiences.com, then you can sign up for tickets. And I think they randomly assign them or something like this. But I signed us up for some because we're going to be in London that weekend anyway.
I don't think we can go there.
It's like in Hackney. Yeah, it is. What's wrong with that?
It's not saying anything's wrong with Hackney. I'm saying it's nowhere near where we're going to be.
It's about 25 minutes on the tube from where we're going to be.
It's not on the tube. It's on the train line.
The train line? Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, yeah. Awards, anyway. So the ones you can vote for are the Best Actor, the Best Actress and the Best Soap. So Best Actor, Jack P. Shepherd is through. And the Best Actress, Ali King is through. So make sure you go on and vote for them. Then, of course, we've got all the other panel nominations that we don't get a say in. Now, Villain of the Year, Gemma... Pat Phelan. I think that was an obvious choice. I don't know what the villains have been like in other soaps, but I mean, Phelan's been awesome. I really, really hope that he gets that one because it's very, very much deserved. He should definitely get that. best single episode. We got the live episode. That seems like a bit of a safe choice.
What happened in that?
That was when Callum got clonked on the head.
Sorry. Okay.
Was it the best episode of the year? I don't know, but it's a nice one to pick, isn't
officially.
It?
Officially. The best male dramatic performance is Jet P. Shepherd, and then female is Tina O'Brien.
Mm.
Best comedy performance, Patty Clare.
That's a bit of a, I would say, a bit of a controversial nomination, because Sally Denever doesn't get a look in the best comedy performance. She won it last year.
I would also say that Mary's been funnier.
Yeah, I mean,
than she has been this year.
She's all right. But, I mean, they had the whole Brendan storyline, didn't they? But the funniest storyline in ages, the Sally campaigning for to be on the council. Hilarious. That was amazing.
Comedy gold.
Off screen as well with that campaign video. Sally Denver was robbed there. I hope Patty gets it, obviously, but I'm very surprised that Sally didn't get nominated.
You can't just have the same one all
the
time.
It's not like, I think Michelle Keegan would beg to differ there. You can have the same character winning it again.
Maybe they're scared of scaring her off.
Yeah, maybe.
Best young performance, Ally Mulvaney.
Elle Mulvaney.
Sorry, I read that wrong. And then...
I hope she wins. She's our favourite.
Best scene of the year is Callan's death, which is cheating.
Why?
Because it's best single episode.
Best on-screen partnership. See, Sally Denver gets a look in here. Sally and Joe Duttine for Sally and Tim. I think
perhaps they just thought it would be silly to have her in two categories.
I hope they get that.
And then best newcomer, Shane Ward. Best storyline, Callum's Reign of Terror and Sarah's Baby.
So we know which is the favourite storyline there then. Lots of nominations for all the Platt stuff.
It does kind of annoy me when it feels a bit like they can only ever handle one storyline that's big at a time.
That often happens. I don't know whether it's the same with the other soaps, because you see who's been nominated for that. It's like, are they in the same storyline?
Yeah,
I don't know. But there is often... But Coronation Street does do this, doesn't it? It has the big storylines, and often they will lead up to being around awards season. So So good luck to Corrie anyway. I hope they do better than they've been done in previous years. There's also going to be the Outstanding Achievement Award and the Tony Warren Award as well, which we talked about recently.
What's the Tony Warren Award again?
That's going to be, I think it's a behind the scenes one, I think.
So that's the one we're going to get?
Maybe, you never know.
Cool, okay. The other story we've got is, all the stories this week.
There's all good news this week.
So, good news, everyone. All those broken-hearted romantics.
Like us.
Who were absolutely devastated to hear that Alan Halsall and Lucy Jo Hudson were splitting up. Good news, they're getting back together again.
They have got back together again, it seems. They were snogging each other's faces up at some football match at the weekend, and they've been tweeting each other about going off to Paris on holiday, because it was Lucy Jo's 33rd birthday this week, and Alan tweeted out something saying, "Oh, my beautiful wife, love you, my darling, can't wait for Paris."
So, I find it weird when people tweet each other personal things.
I know, I do as well.
I also find it weird when people do Facebook statuses going, "Cannot wish for anyone better than my beautiful wife. He has made me this beautiful mirror. She is the light of my life."
I know, I would never say anything like that about you.
No, I know you wouldn't.
Not in public, anyway. Yeah, but I mean, I suppose if they've split maybe up and he needs all the husband brownie points that he can get.
Maybe he doesn't know how to use WhatsApp. I'm tweeting is free, so maybe he gets charged for text messages.
I'm really, really glad they're back together. But we were a bit gutted when they split up at the time. Not that we know them or anything.
Don't know
but
them. This is what it's all a bit strange.
They seem to be a really, really nice couple together.
I don't really like delving into people's private lives like this, but we had to say it because we mentioned that they broke up. So
yeah.
I don't like... Well, moving into this territory of soapy stalker behaviour, so we won't do too much
this.
But, it's just a special notice because their loves look young dream.
Yeah.
The other piece of news, amazing. Are you going to say?
You say it. It's your character.
It's not my character.
She was.
The Little Book of Carla Connor is coming out from...
Glenda.
Yeah.
She's doing another one. Hot on the heels of the official ITV Deirdre book last year, and her other two self-published books. We talked about the Richard Hillman with a Briefcase recently came out in paperback. This is another one that she's publishing herself, so it's going to be out in the next month or so. We haven't got an exact release date, but you can pre-order it on Amazon now. It's going to come out on ebook and in paperback, and it's going to be chronicling the past 10 years of Carla, and I'm sure it's going to be an amazing book. We've got a little blurb that says, "Carla's story spans one of the most thrilling decades in soap. It includes Carla being held hostage in a siege, surviving fires, bus crashes, alcoholism, gambling addiction, and suicide attempts. Written by a true Corrie fan, this book presents Carla Connor's 10 years in Coronation Street as one continuous account. You can relive all the thrilling drama in Carla's life, along with the best hair and cheekbones in a TV soap.
She does have lovely hair and cheekbones.
Yes.
Nothing can, no one can take that away from her.
I'm sure that's going to be a very good book. And I have to say that the cover of it, fantastic. Amazing. Nice and purple.
Joe did that.
Yeah, Joe did it. It's a little bit like the Richard Hillman with the briefcase.
I love kind that of, style of art.
I don't know. Yeah, the flat style is a bit more. Except the Richard Hillman one, he didn't have a face, did he, on the
front of that? Yeah, this stylized. Is
a bit more detailed. So, yeah, good art. I'm sure it's going to be a good book. So get pre-ordering that if you would like.
Yeah, why not?
And that is it for the news this week. All good news. Fantastic. Let's get on and finish the podcast with some feedback. We have got a bumper feedback session this week. We've had loads of emails and messages this week, so thank you very much, everybody.
We've engaged with our audience somehow.
Thank you as well for all the bananas and snowy bananas that people sent us. It does prove, Gemma, that people have been listening to us right to the end of the episode, which I told you they did. We've had photos of bananas, we've had banana in the snow, we've had a clip of Kelly Kapoor from The Office talking about bananas, we've had people saying bananas. They love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Stay tuned for the next secret message.
I think that if you are listening to the end of the podcast this week, you should send us £10. Or to send us anyway.
Yeah, please.
So I don't think that was going to be quite as popular a request.
So our first message comes from somebody with a secret name.
Yes. Newfoundlander in heaven, this is from.
And it's not his real name. They told
us it's not his real name.
I thought Inn was like a really popular Canadian middle name, but it's not. It's just a fake
What has this person got to say?
Right, he said, I've just completed listening to your latest podcast, which was 197. Keep up the good work. You were asking about Sophie. I should start by explaining that I've only been watching Corrie since New Year's Day 2015. It was my New Year's resolution. It was nice to finally keep one of those. So the staying sober thing never worked. So I guess that Newfoundlander drinks his way through every episode to try to make Sophie. That's why you think Sophie's cool.
Well, he says, as part of my research to get back some background on the show, I watch YouTube videos. The most common ones I found were the Sophie and Sean coming out story. That's quite interesting that that's the most common things you find on.
Because obviously YouTube must have its own kind of ecosystem and community for Coronation Street videos that we've never seen.
Mm. Well, do you remember when we looked at all that fan fiction stuff and there was a load of Sophie and Sian stuff there?
Oh,
there was Sophie and
Sian
stuff
very
and
vaguely.
There was Peter and Carla stuff. So it's obviously, a kind of a niche of fans that are
into that.
Yeah. He says, I thought both actresses did a wonderful job. I think given the proper storyline, Sophie could do just as well again. I like the Sophie and Sian stuff. It's since then, really, that she's gone down the pan, isn't it, I think?
Well, he says some of the potential areas they could explore for Sophie could deal with her having PTSD since the death of Maddie. The character's gone through some emotional turmoil since, and a potential PTSD story could help explain her personality change and recent behaviour. They could also explore issues surrounding body shaming. Sophie made an interesting comment to Kevin and Roy's a couple of weeks back about how she counts calories for apples. I thought that Sophie and Maddie's storylines were well done. It's too bad Amy Kelly decided to leave. Amy was recently on ITV's Jericho.
Ooh.
I didn't know that.
It was a shame that Maddie left. What do you think about counting calories for apples?
I do that.
If Gemma's counting calories, you do that.
No, I think I don't think that was his point though. I do think body shaming and all that kind of stuff would be fascinating. I would love them to do it, but unfortunately, it opens the actresses up to some very personal comments.
Yeah,
that I'm sure they would not want. Like,
go down that road.
As soon as you open up your body for discussion, people will be going, "Well, she's not thin enough to be able to do a body shit." Like, I don't believe that she's, you know, like that. I mean, I can't imagine them doing it without somebody developing an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And the only really way they could do that without making the actress lose weight or it not being believable is for them to have some kind of bulimia.
I'd just quite like Sophie to have a storyline that didn't involve her love life, because that's all it seems to be at the moment, isn't it? Moving from one girl to the next.
Yeah, yeah. I would like there to be some kind of story like that, but you'd have to have a very brave actress to take it on.
Brooke might be able to do that.
I'm just saying.
Got no problem with Brooke. Right, thank you for
I didn't say that. I'm just saying,
Thank you for your email. Newfoundland, I forgot what your name is. Newfoundland person.
In heaven, Newfoundland, in heaven.
Thank you. Jane is our next one. Jane says, hello, Gemma and Michael. Just finished listening to this week's podcast. My favourite part was the discussion of characters from other TV shows on Coronation Street, especially when my first thought was Sarah Lancashire from Happy Valley. She would find Callum's body for sure.
She would.
She'd be right down there. She'd sniff it out.
She would.
Doorbell ringing, the cat meowing, the occasional traffic noises that I hear in the background so much. Hope you never edit them out.
Look, Jane, we've got no idea how to do that.
I can do things like that. I just choose not to. I used to spend a lot longer editing the podcast than I do now.
You can't edit out traffic noises.
Oh, no, I guess not. My favourite part of last week's podcast, Jane says, was our short discussion on how you met, how long you were engaged, and Michael missing... Oh, don't bring this up, Jane. I forgot this was coming in this email.
Michael missed my 21st birthday.
Let's move on from that
more
topic.
More of that, she says. More of that. Right, so...
Don't want to hear any more about how I missed Emma's 21st birthday.
It was at my parents' house. And I spent the whole time staring at the door.
No, you had a lovely time with that.
No, I did. Every time someone came in, I thought it was you.
Oh. Jane continues, Todd has been my character of the week. What?
Can I have your credit card?
No.
Buy myself a dress?
No, you cannot buy a nice dress. Todd has been my...
I can. I'm very good at it.
Todd has been my character of the week for a few weeks now, Jane says, especially in the way he treated Sarah, who needed the care and attention he gave her. I was a big Todd fan when he was a boy, and I've never given up on him. The Tracy and Todd scenes are so funny.
I love... Todd is becoming one of my favourite characters.
Yeah, when he came back and he was evil, I was like... I really like how we're seeing more.
It when it's harnessed for good. That's why I kind of like Tracy being evil. Although she doesn't harness it for good, she does kind of... You can always see where she's going with it, you know?
I liked it when Todd was this week saying, you can't fleece my brother and get away with it. Nobody fleeces my brother but me. He's finally realised that his family is, blood thicker than water. So, good on him. Now, let's find out about what he was doing in London. Rebecca in her email says, good week this week overall, and I agree with Michael. Jason for character of the week. I was impressed by Ryan Thomas's acting. Although I'm sad that Tony was killed off screen, I think it could be important to Jason's growth as a character. I'm also getting intrigued by Billy's storyline and did enjoy his getting in between Phelan and Johnny's fight. I think Billy's connection to this Lee is maybe not nothing between the two of them, but Lee knows something that Billy is trying to keep secret. Mm. Maybe something from his pre-vickering days. I don't know whether he didn't seem to be, like, blackmailing him. Lee's the one that seemed to be desperate. And if he knew a secret, I think he'd be a bit more threatening from what we've seen of him.
Well, Billy says he's not facing up to his real problem, so it does seem like... That would be a good, interesting way of doing it, but I don't think that's what they're doing.
Mm, yeah.
But there's nothing to say that it's not a connection between the two of them, like what we said. There's some kind of connection between the two of them that is pre-vicar and Billy doesn't necessarily want people to know about. Yeah. But maybe Lee doesn't quite realise that he's got this information.
Mm. What Rebecca said there also reminded me, we didn't see any more of the Johnny stuff this week, did we? Because Phelan made a new enemy in Johnny Connor last week, and neither he nor Jenny have been in it at all this week. So he's obviously extended out to the Nazirs a bit more this week, so hopefully we'll see more of that soon.
Phelan makes her want to shout at the TV every time he comes on the screen, but I also really like him as a villain as well. Freddie's little cameos also make me smile. I'm hoping that Audrey has a fling or a brief relationship with him, depending on how long Freddie is stopping in for. Also enjoying the new partnership developing between Steve and Tim, and glad that Steve is now back. I also think the writers do know what happened with Todd in London, but maybe saving it for when they need a big storyline for Todd. Or if it was something that happened with Jules when they decided to give Todd a serious relationship, it could be something brought in then. I also think that Bruno does know what happened, as his character has developed since returning to the show. Finally, on my re-listen of Conversation Street episodes, I am now up to the 2015 awards, so nearly caught up.
And if you were. What are you going to do when you're finished? Back to the beginning again.
Yeah, rewind.
Thank you for writing to us again, Rebecca, and Tivor as well this week says, I think Ryan Thomas is very good. You don't usually rate him that highly as an actor because Jason's generally a bit thick and not that emotional, but then you get an emotional storyline and you realise how good he really is. The actor himself would be very different from Jason, but he plays it so naturally that it's not always easy to separate the two. Andy Wyman's another actor that's underrated for the same reason. Kirk's even thicker than Jason, and I've met Andy. He's talented and intelligent, and that's when you realise how good he is at acting. I'd quite like to see both of those do something else.
I'd like to meet them in real life to know what they're like. Because I can't imagine them being anything else.
No, I know what you mean.
But I don't want to also, I don't want to,
You don't want to say, you don't want to insinuate that, that Andy or Chase or Ryan, sorry.
They wouldn't mind if I...
I'd like to see them in other things.
Yeah.
Because I really do think that I rate Ryan more as an actor than Andy, but I love Kirk being in it, but he plays a different type of character, doesn't he? I hope Ryan goes on and does something else. Tibor says that was quite a fight between Johnny, Aidan, Phelan and Billy. Billy was awesome though, and it was very out of character. I think Johnny might be a fairly worthy adversary for Phelan. I have a feeling that Johnny is tougher than he appears, and he may know a few people that are as nasty as some of Phelan's henchmen.
He did come in as more of a ducker and diver than he's portrayed at the moment.
Yeah, he's...
he's sort of become like a bit of a like a rock for the Connors, and like a I'm the dad, you know, like I'm just the dad.
He's also like the one that's kind of having to be grovelling to the Aidan and Kate and Carla, and it's like everything's a bit kind of down and a bit depressing.
It
for
wasn't
Johnny,
how
isn't
he
it?
Used to be at all. He was much more of a.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make him a bit more sympathetic as a character, and he's like caught up in the middle of all this drama with his, you know, his daughter, the wedding drama, and Aidan, and then Carla, everything that she's going through, and he just wants to get on and manage the factory.
Yeah.
And that's why he needs the love of a good woman, I think. Tibor says,
who could it be?
I don't know. Tracy has been suspicious quiet lately, hardly even glaring in Carla.
Has been suspiciously quiet.
Oh, definitely quiet.
Not suspicious quite lately.
Oh, I'm so tired. Quiet lately, hardly even glaring in Carla's general direction. Calm before the storm. Maybe. I'm not complaining that Tracy's not been in it as much as I like her. It's been a fairly nice break, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't take long for Tim to be pushed to the background now that Sally's been elected. He's already feeling neglected. I hope they don't split them up, but I do remember that Sally was elected in a by-election. Let's hope the powers that be also remember and have her lose in the main election. I loved her campaign, but I don't think I'd want to go through it again. I'd like to see her realise how it's affecting her marriage and decide not to run again. That would be difficult for her since she loves being the centre of power, but I can't see them carrying this story for long if Sally and Tim are going to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
So this main election then, was that not what we just had this week? Because we went voting for something yesterday, didn't we? That was local elections, wasn't it?
It was
local councillors. Election and
it was the councillors
and
the
police
and the
commissioner.
Police commissioner.
So surely
who did you vote for?
I'm not telling you.
Because it was 1-2 and then it was 2.
I know, I was really surprised confused. When I went into the booth and we had to pick two people. It's I didn't even know who the first one to vote for was.
I thought
I did my civic duty.
I just put a cross next to ones I didn't like.
That's not how it works, though.
I wonder who won.
I don't even know who's won for us. But do you agree that this should be the thing that Sally was being voted for? So
they
managed
know.
To skim over that.
I don't know. I've only just... Okay, I'm not going to make myself sound more stupid than I already do. Right.
Do you think that Sally and Tim have got a potential of splitting up if she carries on neglecting him?
I don't like to see that happen, but I want her to be a counsellor because I think it's funny.
I want her to stay a counsellor. I hope she kind of realises, because Tim could just get up and leave, couldn't he?
He's done it before
they were married, but he's not again. He's not like.
Yeah, it would be a bit more difficult for him to do that now.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I hope not. I hope they stay together, but the councillor stuff is great. And Dave is our next email. I think this is our last email of the night. He says, Gemma, you are absolutely right.
Sorry?
It's not
say
enough
that again.
Just, you're absolutely right, he
Yay.
Says. It's not enough just to say Sophie has been in the show a long time, although I'm sure you will agree it is worth something. Long-term characters on a soap become familiar, and even when they don't have much of a storyline, they're required to the bigger picture. I would rather see Emily, Norris and Rita sitting at a table in the background of a scene at the Rovers or Roy's than three strangers. Unfortunately, the writers sometimes make characters say something that's not like them or have them do something that's completely uncharacteristic. This has happened to Sophie on several occasions, in my opinion. This drives me crazy.
Yep.
But the thing is, she's saying it, she's kind of being Mardy and saying these kind of things so often, it's almost becoming a personality, isn't it, I think? That's the problem with Sophie. This is why I like Sophie, he says. I think it's because I like the Websters, and she is the good Webster. Sophie's not the only good Webster. She's the Webster with brains and morals, a good neighbour and just plain nice. I've always liked the Websters. Kevin and Sally have been good characters over the years, from Kevin lodging with the Ogdens to getting his partner and best friend's wife pregnant. They've had a lot of juicy storylines over the years. A lot of affairs, mind you. Sophie grew up in the middle of this mess, and yet she is who she is. I really enjoyed her storylines with Sian and Maddie, and I assume she will end up with Kate. So do you think that... Would you say that Sophie is the one that's kind of just generally nice? Which is what he said. I don't know whether I agree with that.
No.
She used to be. She had the morals, but I think they've just been completely muddied over the year. I don't want to turn this into another slagging match against Sophie, but...
Well, she's not here, so...
We'd automatically move, we don't need to. But there we go. We asked for people to email in and tell us about why they like Sophie. I'm so fascinated. We won't complain when you do it.
Whenever I say horrible things about any character, I always feel guilty. Number one, the actors, I feel bad for them because it's not personal.
No.
Number two, I feel bad for the fans of that character because I don't want them to get upset with me for having a different opinion. So I like to hear people saying what they think and why. I enjoy that kind of, because we don't get the, we don't really get the two-way discussion here. It's either if we both agree with each other, then that's the end of it.
And if I did disagree with you about something, I don't know whether I'd even dare say it, to be honest.
Well, no, you should keep your mouth shut.
And we got a little message from Louise at the end as well, didn't we? She says, "For a godsend." The hockey playoffs are now on CBC. Daily Corrie broadcasts have been preempted, so all of us Canadians can root for our favourite hockey teams. Can you imagine? It's great that you're there to fill the Corrie void here in the Great White North. Poor Canadians.
Hockey! Bet they like hockey, though. You can't complain, Louise. You love hockey, you know it.
It's just pucking a... chucking a... No, what is it? Batting a puck around.
Batting hockey. A puck, yes, exactly.
That's as much as I know about it.
They have fights. That's
poor,
what I know.
Poor Canadians. You shouldn't be so good at it. Right, that is definitely the end of the feedback section and the end of the podcast.
But before we go, do not forget to send us questions.
Yes.
For Sally Ann Matthews interview.
In 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time. But don't send it in 2 weeks' time. Send it now.
Send it now, and we'll pick some of the best questions to ask her on the show. So it could be you. Yeah,
it could be you, or we could just go, "That's a stupid question," and make fun of you.
We won't do that. Send your questions in. You can do that or any other feedback to conversationstreet@gmail.com. You can go onto our blog, conversationstreet.podbean.com.
It's updated.
Yeah, exactly. You can Skype us. Skype some questions would be amazing. You can tweet us. We're at conversationstreet. Or you can find us on Facebook. And while you're there, you can... while you're online, give us a review on iTunes.
I thought you were going to say, while you're there, send us money.
Oh, yeah. If you're listening to this bit.
They wouldn't be able to send us money.
Because they don't know how to. Oh, well.
It's a good idea. Put it in an envelope and write Michael and Gemma, UK, and they'll know who it is.
There's only one Michael and Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
Right, see you next week, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye for now. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.